Incoming European Commission chief Ursula von der Leyen set out her proposed team on Tuesday. One name will send a tremor through Silicon Valley. Vestia is often seen as big tech's number one foe. She can now see through current probes into Facebook and Amazon. In the past, she's hit Google and peers with multi-billion dollar fines. Donald Trump has said she hates the US worse than any person I've ever met.
Burgers and Coke for lunch? More consumers are saying no, worried not for their own health, but for the planet's. According to a global survey released Tuesday, consumers alarmed about the environment are slashing their spending on meat and bottled drinks. About a third of people polled in 24 countries say they are taking active steps to reduce their imprint, like cutting back on plastic waste.
Enthusiasm seems to be plummeting for WeWork's planned public offering. A source tells Reuters the office-sharing startup's parent company is considering slashing the valuation from a projected $47 billion to as low as $15 billion to $18 billion.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's September the 11th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. On the program today, we'll catch you up on all of the markets from around the world momentarily. We'll have a couple of headlines, too, from the world of business this morning on the program today. It is a financial preparedness month. Are you ready not only for a potential disaster, but to weather the financial storm as well? In our studio this morning, Frank DeVincentis is with us from Morgan Stanley. We're going to go through some tips that, some pretty handy tips that you should probably get going on if you haven't been working on this already. Some pretty basic stuff like getting all your documents together, but also saving as well. And there's some other things, too, that we'll talk with Frank about first up this morning on The Opening Bell. A little bit later in the program, Mayor George Van Dusen, the mayor of Skokie, will be with us this morning. Amazon has announced a new 230,000-square-foot delivery location in Skokie. And we'll talk to the mayor about how that's going to impact his city and also that part of the Chicago area at about 5:38 this morning in our second segment. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The opening bell will ring this morning after stocks closed mixed as tech shares continued their decline yesterday. Tech stocks were down for the third straight day, but a late rally moved the Dow into positive territory. At the closing bell, the Dow was up 74 points. The Nasdaq lost about 3 points. The S&P gained just a point at the close yesterday. This morning, futures pointing toward opening gains, a mixed opening. Dow and S&P futures are positive this morning. Nasdaq futures are still negative. As we look around the globe, markets in Europe are generally higher. In London, up by nearly 0.75%. In France and Germany, up by nearly 0.5% or more. And in Asia, the market day ends with a good result in Tokyo. The Nikkei up 205 points, up nearly 1%. In Hong Kong, up nearly 1.75%. And in China, off by about 0.5% this morning. A couple of stories as we begin this morning. You probably saw the new unveiling yesterday of Apple's new product, among them the Apple phone, the iPhone 11 Pro. Three different cameras on the back. One is for shooting, a second is for telephoto shots. The third camera is for ultra-wide shooting. The phone comes with a starting price of about $1,000, $300 more than the two-camera iPhone 11. Company also revealed a new Apple Watch, iPad, and details of its subscription, TV, and gaming service. This is one that a lot of states will be watching, a lot of workers as well. California lawmakers moving to enact a landmark bill that classifies contract workers as employees. The bill approved by the state Senate there yesterday would cover more than 1 million workers, including many at companies like Uber and Lyft. The bill would apply to companies that use apps to manage their goods and services. Let's begin this morning with weathering the storm, the financial storm, the real storm as well. It's Financial Preparedness Month, and lots of preparedness ideas out and about this morning. From securing your documents to saving money, Frank DeVincentis is with us this morning, a Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor at Morgan Stanley. Frank, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Good morning.
Glad to have you in. It's really, I mentioned the weathering the storm. It's preparedness month generally in the country. So there's a lot of different things going on. People are preparing for hurricanes and all kinds of things, making sure they're ready. Why is the financial part of this so important?
Great question. For sure, when we're dealing with a disaster, and Chicago has had its share of weather-related disasters, money is one of the first things that we're turning to. We're trying to rebuild our life and in many cases get past the disaster. So making sure that you're ready for this type of event, financially speaking, is very important.
So let's say it's a fire or a tornado or some other disaster that destroys your home and destroys maybe your home office, destroys the place where you keep all your financial records. That seems to be, to me, one of the first places that I would start preparing is making sure that all of those financial records were kept someplace safe.
Right. So, I mean, thinking about this, we have the preparation. What do we do in the moment? And then what are we doing after that to kind of clean up? On the preparation piece, for sure, you want to have a kit that is similar to what people think about from an emergency kit of necessary things for life. So water bottles, batteries, things mm-hmm. of that nature. So this is copies of your documents, something that has your IDs and passwords on it. A little tip on that is don't actually write down the exact password. Write down a description of the password, you know, something that you would you would know.
The hint question.
Write it down for yourself. Right. And, you know, people do this through a lockbox at a local bank. But there's also ways now from a digital standpoint. For instance, Morgan Stanley has something now called a digital vault that's available to our clients. So they're able to put up these very important documents like wills, copies of insurance policies, things of that nature, onto a cloud, essentially a secure cloud. It's something to look into as well.
That's a great idea because if you think of the worst case scenarios, there's a good chance that you're not going to have access to a computer right away, that whatever is left of your home may not be salvageable. So you have to think about having a fireproof kit or a disaster-proof kit. The cloud makes perfect sense.
Yeah, a lot of you see this with companies, you know, that have kind of disaster plans. A lot of this is stored offsite. They're getting access to servers, but we as consumers can do that too, simply through the cloud.
Having money set aside is a big issue. I know there have been some recent reports, as close as a month ago, that many Americans have less than $400 set aside. Keeping some money, extra cash on hand, that seems to be a no-brainer as well, but it might be difficult.
Yeah, the recent stats, you're exactly right, Steve, was something to the degree of like only 6 out of 10 or nearly 6 out of 10 can't cover $500 or $1,000 of an expense if it were to happen in an emergent basis. What we would say is it's difficult for a lot of people, but having some money put aside is very important. We generally, as planners, would recommend somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 6 months of your kind of necessary expenses mm-hmm. set aside. And in a bank account that would be, or something that's invested in very, very safe, highly liquid assets. Additionally, I think maybe what you're talking about too is having some physical cash on hand as well. Obviously, you want to keep this to a minimum, but having, you know, a couple $100 in cash in that kit, mm-hmm. in that physical kit, is probably a wise idea.
Yeah, because people think immediately after a storm, they might be able to use their debit card or checkbook if the checkbook survives. But in this economy, you may have to pay somebody cash to do some work around your house, emergency work around your house.
Yep. And, you know, I guess it also depends on how deep of an emergency we're talking about. Right. But for sure, that, again, even if it's not used, it does add to kind of a peace of mind.
Yeah. And the money, saving the money does as well, because even if there's not a disaster like a storm or something like that, if you lose your job or you're laid off or some medical emergency happens, you'll have a nice cushion there.
Absolutely. Hopefully, People are looking at things like short-term disability, long-term disability, you know, coverage that may be provided through work to help them get through a period of time where they can't work, or you know, or something that helps in the way of losing a job. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the rainy day kind of fund that is there specifically for those type of circumstances.
Insurance is another one I want to talk about here. I think a lot of us think about making sure we have the proper insurance, but a lot of us set it and forget it, don't we? I just needed insurance recently for an incident, and I hadn't looked at my insurance policy for 20 years.
Yeah. Right.
Some things were covered, some things were not. That's important to make sure you're up to date, isn't it?
Yeah, we often just will get maybe a letter that says, hey, reminder, review your insurance coverage. You know, you might want to just set that as part of like a yearly thing that you do. If you do a budget, if maybe around the time that you're shopping for the holidays, something, you're reviewing the coverage, you're making sure it's adequate, because, you know, over that 20-year period, you've accumulated more things, you've, you know, might have made enhancements to the home that you're in. There's a variety of things that you make sure that you have coverage on.
Those insurance documents, good idea to keep those in the cloud as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep that, copies of that security box or in a safe digital vault. And then additionally, people have been better at this these days, but take photos of your stuff. In the case of a fire or losing personal possessions, video, photos, this helps in the claims process and recovering faster from the disaster.
Yeah, because if your insurance company, if you tell your insurance company, hey, I've got a new $5,000 digital camera, and they're like, well, wait a second, I don't know about that. And you're like, no, here's the picture. And
exactly.
Here's the serial number.
Right. Yeah. And doing what you can to, within the video, you know, showing, giving a full picture of things, mm-hmm. and making sure that it's, you know, perhaps dated. And again, storing that somewhere on the cloud is a pretty safe way of, or smart way of handling things.
We were talking about all the bad things that could possibly happen and all the steps you take to make sure you're prepared after whatever happens. How quickly do you have to get in contact with the people that are important in your life, like the credit company, the bank, another lender, your financial services person? How quickly do those people need to know what happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say as soon as possible. You want to, for sure, start the insurance claim process. The sooner the better, even if you can't get access to your home, if it had burned down or something terrible to that end. That's very important. Also, on a kind of quicker, you know, sooner than later basis is, you know, taking a look at what you're going to have in terms of expenses and possibly call your lenders to say, hey, look, I need a break here. And, you know, can we extend things? Can we defer kind of any kind of late payment mm-hmm. penalties, things of that nature? Making sure that they're aware that you're dealing with this is wise.
How likely are they to help you out in those situations? Are they pretty helpful when it comes?
Yeah, that's another good question. I would say that banks in general do not want to have a bad loan, right? So if they're looking at you and they're saying, you know, all right, you're going through a temporary time period, we're okay with, you know, X, Y, and Z, they want to make a deal. They want to keep you as a client. They want, you know, things to persist. The last thing they want to do is have to write off the loan entirely. And often if you start building up a lot of late fees and deferred interest and things of that nature, the person is less likely to pay that and might file for bankruptcy. So for sure, they're people too. They want to work with you.
The notion that you could just not call anybody and miss payments and not pay your bills, that's not the way to go, I'm guessing, at all.
Right. So this is a little bit in the prep stage as well, is, you know what those ongoing bills and payments are. Make sure you keep record of that. Know which ones are set up for bill pay or any kind of automatic, and what you have to be paying out of a check or something to that degree. And make sure you stay consistent in that payment if you can. And again, if you can't because of the financial disaster or the environmental disaster that just happened, call them. Let them know what's happened.
It's probably a good idea to kind of go through these steps that you and I have been talking about no matter what, but it feels like in the time of a good economy, when things are going well like they are now, now's the time to sort of do a lot of this stuff, because if I'm guessing in a bad economy, it's not as easy.
That's correct. Yeah, and you know, I would add also to that, making sure that you're keeping track of your credit score, checking your credit on a regular basis to make sure that there's nothing goofy on there, that it's correctly reflecting what you're doing. And then if there's things that you need to do to improve that credit score, make sure you have it. Because again, you want to, this is another kind of asset to think about when you're dealing with a recovery from a disaster.
You also don't want to be a victim twice. How important is watching out for scams, not just rebuilding scams and fixer-up scams, but financial scams as well in the time of disaster?
Yes, it's an unfortunate part, but you do see opportunists kind of come in and will scam. We saw that in the case of Hurricane Harvey, for instance. And in many cases, too, that it's taken a long time to rebuild from that. I mean, there's still construction projects going on now in that recovering from Hurricane Harvey. But for sure, looking out for you know, your online, anything that's online, your credit cards, debit cards, make sure you're keeping a really close eye to things during this time, because whether you like it or not, you're a target for additional financial trouble.
Is it easier when you have a financial advisor? Do you do some of these things for your clients, or do you just prod them to do this stuff?
Yeah, self-serving answer. But, no, I mean, for sure, when we're sitting down with clients, we are having this risk mitigation conversation early on in the process. Because again, you want to make sure this is set up in place before something bad happens. If a client is impacted in some ways, identity theft to something that happens to a home. We have clients in Florida, for instance, that have been impacted by hurricanes. They're calling us very, very shortly thereon. And plus, we're making sure we're keeping track of them. We're checking in to make sure that they're okay as well.
We haven't talked at all about a potential financial disaster like 2008 again. I think a lot of us don't even want to think about that happening again, but are there ways to mitigate that sort of disaster as well?
Yeah. So the way that we look at it, or one of the ways, is to make sure that your investments that are riskier, so if they're in the stock market, they're positioned for growth, that you have at least, you have a nice long time horizon on those assets. You know, 2008, 2009 was really ugly for financial markets, as we know, but it eventually recovered. And the people that got really hurt during that process were those that had to sell their stocks to maintain their lifestyle or to pay for something. So when it comes to things that could be short-term in nature, they really need to be in safer, less volatile type of assets.
Having that horizon, you can see trouble coming.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Or we know that it happens, right? Recessions happen on average. You know, stock corrections happen 10% or more on almost a yearly basis historically. So we know that this occurs. Let's be smart about it.
Frank, how can people get a hold of you and if they want to have a one-on-one with you or somebody at Morgan Stanley about all of this?
Yeah, wonderful. You can go to morganstanley.com. We have advisor finders, and so you can kind of search for an advisor in your area. My team is the Chicago Group at Morgan Stanley. If you Google my name, I'll come right up.
Very good. Well, it's nice having you here this morning. Come back and see us again sometime.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Frank DeVincentis, Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor at Morgan Stanley, talking about financial preparedness. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Wednesday here in The Opening Bell. Thank you for being with us this morning. Segment, we're going to change our focus to Amazon opening a delivery station in North Suburban Skokie this year. It's a 237,000 square foot delivery station, and folks in Skokie are looking forward to it. The mayor of the community is on with us this morning, Mayor George Van Dusen of Skokie. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me.
This is must be pretty exciting for the community. This is going to employ how many people, perhaps?
Upward of 600 full and part-time employees. It'll depend on what time of the season. During the holiday season that we'll be entering into shortly will be the maximum. So we'll probably be somewhere on the low side, 400. We'll max out somewhere around 650.
Talk to us.
It'll be a substantial new employment for the village.
Talk to us a little bit about where it's going to go and some of the things that went into bringing this deal to Skokie.
Well, it'll be on the south side of the village, 3601 Howard Street. And it was an old piece of property that had severe environmental problems and required a company that needed a large piece of property, access to Chicago and the entire North region, but at the same time was willing to invest in environmental remediation. And Hillwood, which is a development company from Dallas, Texas, is in that kind of business. And from what Don Schoenheider tells me, he's their senior vice president heading up the project. He liked working in Skokie. Our transportation is good. We have some of the best transportation in the area. We have access to Chicago. But also, and I think this is as important as anything, this is a what they call a last delivery station, meaning the goods come in to this distribution plant and now will go out to residents of Skokie, Evanston, Niles, Morton Grove, going all the way north to Glenview, Glencoe, Wilmette, Winnetka. It's a big move for Amazon and in their marketing plan to get product to homes and hands in a 24-hour period. We're glad they came here. We know Don. He's good to work with. And it's been a three-year project. Hillwood did the project on spec, but had an idea of what their end user was and pursued them. We worked with Don for the past 3 years on putting the package together and making pitches to Amazon. So it's been a very good relationship between the village of Skokie and Amazon and Hillwood.
You mentioned this is going to be sort of what they call the last mile station, delivery station. The idea that items will come to this warehouse and then within an hour or two from Skokie will be able to be delivered. So this site had to be big enough to cover all of the drivers that will be coming in to pick up packages. That transportation aspect, I'm guessing, was a big part of this.
Yes. Part of the puzzle what it was obviously, number one, having available 237,000 square feet. And secondly, the site of the distribution center. But as importantly as that was being able to have trucks coming and going and getting staged. They're very scientific in the way they do their staging of trucks, loading the trucks, and then getting them off-site out into the northern municipalities for delivery. It's very impressive to watch the way they stage everything and where vans are parked. We're very grateful, and it's very excited. It's an impressive operation, and they deliver.
Yeah, they
very successful.
Right, it's a very, and they've been opening these kinds of stations all over the country and the state as well. Made a big investment here in Illinois and the Chicago area, especially. Mr. Mayor, I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit more about the jobs. How much will they pay? How do people apply for them? When will hiring start for some of these jobs?
My understanding is that Amazon is going to be having, within the next week or so, job fairs, and that people can apply for these jobs all over state and the region. Amazon will be at job fairs. I believe there's one as early as September the 17th, and they're going to be having more than 11,000 full-time jobs in Illinois, and Chicago is one of the six cities where Amazon is holding their hiring events on the 17th. So that's just a few days from now. And they will be good jobs. They will the full range of any large company. They will start off with minimum wage and will go all the way up depending on a person's experience and the particular job that that's open. In the case of the Skokie Distribution Center, there's going to be a full range from supervisory positions to drivers to a few tech jobs as well.
All right. Mayor, we appreciate you being on with us this morning. Congratulations on this. Certainly a good thing for Skokie and perhaps the start of even more.
I hope so. It adds to the diverse tax base that the village has. The Illinois Science and Technology Park helps with our R&D. We have very successful commercial retail with Westfield, Old Orchard, and Village Crossing. And we are very strong in the health and the entertainment activities. We just signed up a Sketchbook Brewery that will be coming in just north of the Science Park, and that'll be 14,000 square feet for the brewery, and we're happy to say there will be a tap room that will be coming in with the brewery as well. So it helps to diverse our business tax base. And we've learned a lot since the last recession, and our object is to diverse the tax base. It'll make us stronger and perhaps weather any future recessions much better.
Oh, very good. Good things happening in Skokie. Mayor, again, thank you for being with us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Mayor George Van Dusen, the mayor of Skokie. Again, 230,000 square foot facility, a delivery station in Skokie. That job fair that Mayor was talking about is September 17th. Amazon says it's going to fill 30,000 full and part-time jobs nationwide, a number of those in the Chicago area. Chicago is one of those hiring events across the country, September 17th.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market, yes, futures are pointing toward a mixed open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up, so are S&P futures. NASDAQ futures are negative this morning. Now, the latest on agriculture and commodities. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, yesterday, lean hog futures moved higher at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on expectations that China will increase pork imports from the United States. China, the world's top pork consumer, expected to buy more American agricultural products in hopes of a better trade deal with Washington. That, according to a story in the South China Morning Post. And Rich Nelson, who is chief strategist for Allendale brokerage firm, said that is the only story for the hogs today. He said China will have to come back to the U.S. pork market regardless of the trade talks by the fourth quarter this year. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook, the producer price index for August leads off today's economic reports. Analysts forecast an increase of 0.2% over July. Wholesale inventories for July also out today. The experts are calling for a 0.2% gain over June. Also, the Mortgage Bankers Association has a weekly update on mortgage applications. The EIA Petroleum Status Report is due out. On the earnings calendar today, General Finance Corporation, Tailored Brands, and Sigmatron International. We also expect a moment of silence before the opening bell this morning, marking the 18th anniversary of 9/11. Some of the things that could move the markets today, September 11th, 2019.